This is On the Media. I'm Brooke Gladstone.
And I'm Bob Garfield. Free TV has never been exactly free. Viewers have always paid for their programming by sitting through the commercials, at least until recently when TiVos and other digital devices have made it easier to skip past ads altogether. Thus, in the last 7 or 8 years, advertisers have insinuated themselves more and more into the content itself. This week saw the first annual so-called Branded Entertainment Awards, awards built around TV shows and films so saturated with consumer products as to be positively un-TiVo-able. Emily Nussbaum wrote about this collision of ads and art for this week's New York Magazine. She says that once product placement was clumsy, laughable, tacky, and sad. Most viewers saw it from a mile away. But now the products are not so much placed as thoroughly integrated. And what's worse, they're turning up on her favorite shows.
That doesn't mean that that scene doesn't go beautifully well and doesn't completely match the plot. But it does remove the possibility of the writers taking different turns in the future, for instance, saying negative things about the brand.
You're not the only one concerned about this. The FCC is at least considering the idea of forcing networks to run disclaimers that say, you know, this is not a TV show, it's a program-length commercial.
That's right. The proposal has come from the Writers Guild. Essentially, what they're suggesting is something that probably will strike many TV viewers as really sort of shocking and outrageous. If there's a product integration on the show, they want a banner to run concurrently with those lines underneath the show, saying basically, this scene brought to you by Snapple. One thing they're concerned about is that television writers not be forced by networks to become copywriters and add references to products in their stories if they don't want to. They're also concerned that writers get paid for it if there's extra money coming in having to do with brands. So it's basically, if you're going to do it, we want money for it.
This is an outrage. And by the way, the money is terrible.
At the same time, I mean, I'm sympathetic with the WGA's desire on both those parts.
Can you give me some examples of some of the more Byzantine efforts to get the brand name before the viewer's face?
30 Rock is a fantastically written show. I think it's brilliant television. And it's a show about television, which makes it all the more complicated. One of the things I talked about in the piece was the efforts on the part of the brand Soyjoy to place their brand in 30 Rock, which they successfully did.
What's going on with you?
The season finale of MILF Island. Oh. I'm going to watch alone in my office.
That's pretty grim, Pete.
Oh, a dangler. Liz, I'm going to get free food.
Wow.
It's Soyjoy. Who doesn't love Soyjoy? I'm stuck.
And 30 Rock was about a fictional reality show called MILF Island. But there was a subplot when one of the characters got his arm caught in a snack machine. And essentially, he was reaching for a Soyjoy. And I have to say, as a regular viewer of 30 Rock, I watched this and I thought, Soyjoy, what a funny name. I assumed it was a made-up product. They often have made-up products on the show. And during the scene, they ran this slogan for Soyjoy.
Stay tuned for one final shocking twist. Brought to you by Soyjoy, fortified with optimism.
I was watching a product placement within a show about a show, MILF Island, that was a reality show that had a product that was a sponsor on the show. One of the things that is that when people talk about product integration is they often talk about reality television. Reality television is stuffed from top to bottom with product placement. Right from the beginning, the kids on The Real World would go, hey, I've got a text message on my T-Mobile. You know, it was right there. That does not bother me. What bothers me is the larger repercussions of that, because reality television is such a great economic bargain for TV networks that it's easy to get a lot of sponsors to sponsor them because they can show their products right up there. And on top of that, they're very cheap to make. This has really put the squeeze on scripted shows to integrate products.
Well, a perfect example is in 30 Rock, where they did a joke. I guess they can only do this joke once, but it's, as you describe it, hilarious and brilliant and ironic and subversive. Can you tell me about the Verizon placement?
Tina Fey, the character she's playing, Liz Lemon, is meeting with her boss. She's trying to pry into his personal life.
Are you all right?
Well, last night I... Never mind. These Verizon wireless phones are just so popular, I accidentally grabbed one belonging to an acquaintance.
Well, sure, because that Verizon wireless service is just unbeatable. I mean, if I saw a phone like that on TV, I would be like, where is my nearest retailer so I can get one? Can we have our money now?
I love that joke. I really did think it was funny. But it's only over time that I've started having this real sinking feeling about it, because it's potentially the ruination of television. Call me a naive, goofy hippie, but I feel like as a viewer, you almost have to make a choice about being completely gulled and credulous or being utterly suspicious.
Some TV comedy is so sort of postmodern and so thick with cultural references. You know, I'm thinking of actually Seinfeld and episodes about Junior Mints and eating Snickers bars with a knife and fork. But, I don't believe they were product placements, and yet they were bizarrely product-centric. No money changed hands.
You're right. It wasn't the same economic situation. And there are other shows that did this with incredible skill, like Sex and the City, where the characters themselves were such rabid consumers that it made complete sense. The contemporary way of doing this is to do it in a way that's both overt and satirical, as on 30 Rock and as with Stephen Colbert, who does jokes about product integration with Doritos while being paid by Doritos.
Cannibalism. It might actually be the future. If so, I am proud to announce that my 2012 presidential coverage will be sponsored by Sour Cream and Man-Flavored Doritos. Put some man in your mouth!
I'm of two minds about this because these are, again, some of my favorite television creators. However, it sedates people and makes it feel okay, because if you feel like you're in on the joke, it feels like there's nothing wrong with it. And, you know, maybe that's true of the Verizon joke and of the Doritos joke, but I'm not sure that it's true of the next 10 jokes.
You have something particular in mind when you say what the next step could be, because we've actually seen it foreshadowed on 30 Rock.
Well, I remember the first time that I was watching these because, like many people, I don't tend to watch ads on television. I TiVo through them. But, of course, if you're TiVoing through and then you see the characters from the show, you think the show has started again. Well, I stopped my TiVo and I realized, of course, that it wasn't 30 Rock. It was an ad for American Express featuring characters from 30 Rock. And the goal is to get viewers to do exactly what I did, which is to stop TiVoing through the ads. It's an extremely clever technique. I applaud advertisers for doing it. At the same time, I think it's terrible. And I actually would like to point out, we're talking about television, and I think television is in many ways the most important thing to talk about with this, because it's a big mass art form. It's at a really crucial jumping off point right now, economically and artistically. But it's not the only art form that uses product integration. There are theater shows on Broadway that feature product integration. I mentioned one in the piece, Sweet Charity, changed one of their lyrics and served a certain kind of rum in the lobby in order to match this. There was a book written by the British writer Faye Weldon that was sponsored by Bulgari. And I think when people think about the ethics of this, which are definitely complex, and I'm not saying are as simple as saying, like, this is bad, this is corrupted, but I think people should actually compare it to other forms and think to themselves, if I knew that every time that Ian McEwan's characters drank a Coke, it was because Coca-Cola had paid him an enormous amount of money, how would that affect my thoughts about the book? I think it's useful for people to make these comparisons, because I think that otherwise we essentially just let it happen without ever thinking about it. And I think that that's the most dangerous thing.
Well, Emily, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Emily Nussbaum is an editor-at-large for New York Magazine. Her piece, What Would Tina Fey Do for a Soy Joy, is in the October 13th issue of the magazine.